Today on The Balanced Word, The Secret of Happiness.
You plant a tree, you water it, you cultivate it, and in due season, in the right time, fruit's going to come. And that's something that we need to accept also. The fruit is going to come at the right time as long as we're doing the right things. If we refuse to move when he tells us to move, if we refuse to limit our contact with people who are bad influences on us, if we won't get in the word as he tells us to and delight in it, then no, you can wait all you want. The fruit's not going to come. But when we do what he says, now we have to be patient and wait. Now we have to say, okay, I know it's going to come because I've done what he told me to do. Happiness may not be here instantly when you make that decision, but you're on the path to it.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
6 weeks before he died, a reporter asked Elvis Presley, Elvis, when you first started playing music, you said you wanted to be rich, famous, and happy. Are you happy? I'm lonely, he replied. Elvis is just one of the many who discovered that happiness isn't found in riches and fame. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll see where true happiness is found as Pastor Dave Rolfe returns to Psalm 1. Pastor Dave first reveals how dedication and devotion to God's Word really is a key to a happy life.
The love of the Word of God is a key to happiness because everything in this book is designed to give you a blessed life. It's not an instruction manual in the traditional sense of just, okay, A, B, C, here are the rules. But as you plumb the depths of this book, of God's Word, you begin to see, boy, this is exactly what I need. I'm so happy to have discovered the beauty of this book. Delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Now, you can't delight in it if you don't read it. You can't meditate on it unless you learn it. These are preliminary things that lead ultimately to this enjoyable interchange that we have with God as we spend time in his word in devotions. But the word of God, it's something that at first it can be kind of overwhelming. In fact, for the children of Israel, as they would read the law, it was like, oh man, every time I open it, I'm in trouble. I'm busted. I did something else wrong. And yet, when you learn to read it in a right way, you discover that all of that was just to show you how much you've been forgiven and how much of a fresh start God has and how much he offers. And so the truth of the law is it's a joy. It's wonderful. And I love this book. Now, from when I was a little tiny kid, I taught myself to read reading the Bible. And so long before I became a Christian, the book was poured into my head. I memorized thousands of scriptures. And though where that was coming from was from a father who was really crazy that was just trying to brainwash me, to this day, I am so thankful that with everything that I'm not thankful for in my life, I'm so thankful that the word of God was just pushed down me. I don't recommend doing that to your kids, by the way, but I recommend doing it to yourself. Get in the word. It's so rich. It's so amazingly practical. And so God's word, that relationship where you can get to where, in fact, if you don't enjoy God's word, and you can start telling when you enjoy it, you start looking forward to coming to church. You start getting there on time. Sorry, I just had to get that in there. But you come on Wednesday nights. You turn it on other times. You're listening to it, delighting in it. If you're not delighting in it, back up and figure that out because you won't be happy without that. Until you fall in love with God's word, you'll never be fulfilled and you'll never really truly know joy. But he says meditating on it day and night. In order to do that, it starts with memorization. Now, when you're younger, it's much easier to memorize things than when you're older. And that's one of the beauties of teaching your kids the word of God early on. But when you're older, you go, I can't memorize scripture. I'm too old. And it's true. Your brain is deteriorating and it's much more difficult for you to memorize scripture than it was when you were younger. But here's the deal. It's also the healthiest thing you can do for that old brain of yours. With what we don't know about the brain, one thing we do know, as we start getting older and senile, If we force ourselves to stretch our brain and to program it with God's word and to go over and over it until we get it, it'll help keep you young. Not forever, but it would be the healthiest thing you could do. But also the reason why is because if you open your Bible and read it and go, that was great, and then you close it and you forget what you read, it's hard to do it day and night because you have other stuff you have to do. But meditating on God's word day and night is deciding that what you want to do is all day long, you want the word to be with you. And so you take a verse and you learn it, you memorize it. You run over and over it in your mind. The word for meditation is also used to refer to a cow chewing its cud, just really taking time. Now, we do this with certain things, and there are other things we don't do it with. There are sometimes, I know, for instance, if I go out to dinner and vegetables are presented, I never order them, but let's just say there's no other option. So you're paying for them anyway, and they're there. I may eat some vegetables. I mean, I'm not beneath that, but I'll eat them fast and choke them down right away so that I can drown out the flavor of those green beans with something more palatable, like a roll or a steak. On the other hand, if there's something that's really good, you want to savor it. Last night, I had a long week. It was just one of those things where I was like, feel like beat up. And when I was at the end of my rope and I just sat down and closed my eyes, my cell phone was ringing and Will had just gotten a bad accident on the freeway. And so I headed down there and he's fine except for a bunch of scrapes and stuff from his airbag. But it was just like, oh man, I felt so bad for Will because I know how that feels. And here we're out on a freeway trying to get this taken care of and all. And just feeling like, oh, what a week. I was just thinking about a half hour before his accident, I'm so glad this week is almost over. And then boom. And so finally we get home and got some dinner. And Ann said, hey, I have a little dessert if you want it. And I'm like, I am not even in a mood for dessert, but fine. You know, I'll go ahead and I'll wolf something down. And she had this incredible pudding with whipped cream and these fresh berries on it. And I like took a big bite and then I'm like, I start eating it like a little girl. You know, I'm little pieces at a time, licking the spoon. It's like, this is so good. And I'm trying to figure out, okay, with the berries, how much pudding and whipped cream, if I space it out so each bite will have a berry and the right. And I'm like getting all meticulous and I'm just going, I'm enjoying this dessert. And that's what God wants us to do with his word. It's not just how much can you eat. It's not just like, okay, let's pound it down. 20 chapters a day will keep the devil away and just forcing you. And sometimes it's like that. You know, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, it's like my head spaces out. I'm reading it, and all of a sudden I turn the page to go, how many verses are in this chapter anyway? I want to look ahead and see when it's going to be over. And that's not the idea. The idea is to just savor it, meditating on the word of God. Now, this isn't Eastern meditation where you chant some obscure mantra and try to just empty your mind of all content. That may provide you temporary relief. And some people will report benefits from that kind of meditation. But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is taking God's word and letting it soak into our lives. It's kind of like what Paul said over in Colossians 3 when he said, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. That word for dwell means to be at home with you. He's saying, let it just soak in. Now, how do you do that in a, how am I going to get through 15 Psalms if I can't do the littlest one? But let it affect you. Here's like the meditation on the word of God. Sometimes what it might be is to say, I'm going to take a small part of a verse. In fact, I'll take one word and this is my word for today. And I'm going to go, okay, Psalm 1. Blessed is man who walks not in the counsel. No, whoa, back up. Blessed, blessed. Okay, that's it. Today, the word of the day is blessed, like Mr. Rogers. I remember when we used to watch Mr. Rogers when my kids were small one time. And Mr. Rogers, I know he was a good guy and everything, but one time William watching it goes, Dad, where's Mrs. Rogers? And I said, oh, let's just not go there. But he really was married, so I don't know why that came. But it's like a word. Okay, we're going to focus on this word. And today I'm going to think about just blessed. And so as I get ready for work, I'm thinking, is God going to bless my life today? Am I going to allow him to make me happy? And then as I'm driving, It's a blessing to have transportation. It's a blessing to have a place to go, a job to God. As I'm driving, I'm looking for all of the ways in which you're blessing me. And as I'm going through my day, I want to look for blessings. I want to experience blessings. And then as the day winds down and there aren't so many blessings, I go, and God, I want to be a blessing. So where is someone who I can bless? Where is someone who I can just catch their eye and smile at them? Or do something for them that's surprising? How can I be a blessing, Lord? And spend the day thinking about blessing. And that's meditation. I also sometimes will like to take a piece of a verse. And I go, this is my verse for today. And I will start to, as the day goes through, I'll emphasize different words in the sentence. Like one that I will do sometimes, I love the verse, one of my favorites, John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So you go, well, that's a lot for me to memorize. Okay, how about Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. Four words. Can you handle that today? Can that be the part of a verse for the day? John 14:6a or whatever. I am the way. Now take I and emphasize that. And hear the voice of Jesus as he says, I am the way. Attention is focused on him. He's saying, I am the way. If he's saying that he is the way, it means you're not the way. It means someone else isn't the way. This isn't the answer. He's going, I am. And then I go, okay, emphasize am. Jesus said, I am the way. There's a certainty there, an assurance. I am, I really am. And then he goes, I am the way. No other way, no other answer. All those other things that would draw us aside and suck us in. No, there's one way, the way. And then emphasize way. I am the way. What does that mean? It's a path. It starts where you are. It ends where you're going. The way, he's the way. He's not just, you know, all paths that go nowhere. He's the way. That's what he wants to be. He wants to lead us and guide us. And so meditating on God's word, chewing on it. It's our devotions. It's our lifeblood. If you are careful who you associate with, but then you don't learn to delight in his word, memorize it, meditate on it day and night. If you can't know enough of it that when you're going to sleep, you can just think of something in God's word, still not going to be happy. Hey, if you ditch all those negative influences in your life, you'll be happier. But to find real joy, you have to fill that gap. Surround yourself with people who love God and who remind you of his word. A part of meditation is talking to people about his word. So make sure there are people in your life who, when you get together, you can talk about the things of the Lord. That's another part of meditation. So these two of the legs to the stool to happiness is association. And secondly, is this whole issue of dedication, devotion, allowing the word of God to affect your life. But the third thing is, let's look at the fruit of that life in verse 3. Here's what it looks like. Here's what that life looks like in a practical way. The happy person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. A life of fruitfulness is a life of happiness. And he says that if you're doing this, if you're watching your environment and determining your environment, and then you're soaking up the word of God, delighting in it, learning to enjoy it, meditating on it. And then he says, you're going to be like a tree that's been planted by the rivers of water. The word there for planted isn't a normal word for planting. It's actually a word that means transplanted. The idea is God will take you from where you are and he'll stick you where you need to be, by the rivers of water. The word there in the Hebrew for the rivers of water isn't a river that floods down. Being next to a river is a rough place to live. And it's a hard place for a plant to grow because so often erosion happens and takes away the soil and thus some of the nutrients. It's rivers, plural, and it's a word that they use to refer to irrigation channels. They would plant trees in straight lines and they would dig a trough between the trees and irrigate by running water down those troughs. And what he's saying is it's a tree that's been put in a healthy place whereby water is coming through and blessing and nurturing and helping to grow. If you're a happy person, it's going to be because, well, you're like a tree that's been transplanted. The idea is you maybe need to move sometimes. You may need for God to take you from where you are to put you to where he wants you to be. And sometimes we can be so stubborn and conservative that we will stay where we are no matter what. Look, I've always done it this way. This is how my life has been, and I'm going to continue to be just the way I am. As Scott Peck said one time, insanity, a definition of insanity, is when you keep doing the same thing and you expect different results. Hey, if you're in a dry desert place, you might need to move. There was a comedian years ago who joked about the people who were starving because they lived in the desert. And he said, they don't need you to send them food. Send them U-Haul trailers. They live in the desert. Move. And the idea is, hey, look at where you are. And if you're not in a place of blessing, maybe God wants to do something different in your life. And if you won't let go of your old stability and move into a new effectiveness, you're not willing to do that, how can you be fruitful? Now, it's not just moving for moving's sake. Every once in a while, you know people who just go, boy, it's just really dry and it's tough here, and so I think I'm going to move to the desert. That's not a good move, usually. Maybe for some people it is. But the idea is, God, I'm placing myself in your hands, and I want to be willing to change. I would like to be transported and transplanted into a place where, well, life works for me. And I believe that we need to be open to changes that God may want to do in our lives. If we want to be happy, we have to let him do that. Now, we freak out when changes come. And so we're comfortable in our lives. We're not happy. We've been complaining all the time. But still, you know, everything that we have to say about our house and our friends and our church and our lives and everything else, it's all negative. But still, when we start to lose that way of life, oh no, change. And we feel the shovel digging around us. And we're going, wait, what's going on? Well, you're dying. Yeah, I know, but I could be dying even worse somewhere else. What are you doing? I hate this job. Oh, you just lost your job. Oh, no. The shovel's sinking in. But see, if we really want to be who God wants us to be and experience that fulfillment that comes from the blessed life of God, then when he starts to dig us up, we shouldn't freak out. We should go, oh, this is exciting. I don't think he's taking me to the fire to burn me up. I think he's going to do something good in my life. I can feel change is happening. And he says, the person who's experiencing God's joy is a person who understands that transplanting is a part of that. Because when he puts us somewhere else, when he moves us, all of a sudden, here comes this water. Oh, and it's so soothing and it's so fulfilling. But if we're not willing to move and change, then we're pretty much going to be stuck where we are. But he says, he'll be like a tree transplanted by these irrigation ditches, the rivers of water, and you'll bring forth fruit in your season. Bring forth fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Whoa, that would make me happy if that was coming out of my life. Exactly. And that's what happens to the person who will obey the scripture. That fruit starts to come. Now you go, but God's moved me and it's still not working. And I've made all sorts of changes. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to have a good attitude. I'm alienating myself from people who drag me down. That's still not happening. Well, it brings forth its fruit in its season. Sometimes even when you're doing the right things, it takes time for it to really work. Now, I have memories as a kid of we had a couple of the greatest peach trees in our backyard. And we would go out in the morning, it's time to go to school, walk out and pull off a peach that's the size of a softball. Just perfect. And then you'd look at it and butterflies had eaten away part of it. So you'd throw it down and you'd get another one. And then here's like, no, this one's really perfect. And you peel it and slice it up and put it in a bowl and pour some cold milk on it. Oh, man, was that good. So I'm just going, I'm craving that to happen. And all these artificial peaches that in the store that you bite into them and they taste like an apple. It's just not, you know. So I'm going to grow my own peaches. So I go down to the nursery and I buy a little peach tree. And I take it home and I dig up and I put some water on it and I put the soil on it. And I go, all right. Tomorrow morning I get up. Oh, those peaches are going to taste good. And I go out there, what is this? There's no peaches on this. This is not a peach tree. And I rip it out and give up and get a bad attitude. No, it takes time. You plant a tree, you water it, you cultivate it, and in due season, in the right time, fruit's going to come. And that's something that we need to accept also. The fruit is going to come at the right time as long as we're doing the right things. If we refuse to move when he tells us to move, if we refuse to limit our contact with people who are bad influences on us, if we won't get in the word as he tells us to and delight in it, then no, you can wait all you want. The fruit's not going to come. But when we do what he says, now we have to be patient and wait. Now we have to say, okay, I know it's going to come because I've done what he told me to do. Happiness may not be here instantly when you make that decision, but you're on the path to it.
You're listening to The Balanced Word and a portion of Pastor Dave Rolfe's study of the Psalms. Pastor Dave has a bit more to say before we leave you today, so please stay tuned for that. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so you can have them delivered to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are now at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling 949-362-7475. Let's get back to Pastor Dave for the rest of his message, The Secret of Happiness.
He goes on to say, its leaf also will not wither. What are leaves for? You know what fruit is for, but what are leaves for? I don't know. I suppose that they kind of shade the fruit, but it seems like they suck up a lot of the water and everything too. And leaves are pretty worthless. Nobody grows a tree and says, oh, I just love the leaves. Unless it's a tree that's just for looks. It's just, oh yeah, I like the leaves. But a fruit tree, you want to eat something from it. But in life, it's interesting. You have that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, but the leaves also, he says, not only will you bear fruit, but even your leaves are going to be cool. The leaves are the decorations, I think. The leaves are just those things that aren't big deals, that aren't significant, but they add to the environment that God is giving you. Now, when you buy a house, or you get your first apartment or whatever, it's like first you need a place to sleep and you need a place to put your food in a refrigerator. But then you start to tinker around a little bit, especially if you have a woman in your life. And window coverings come into play. You know, many blinds are fine for window covering if you're practical. As far as that goes, hanging a sheet or a towel will do the trick in a bachelor apartment. But you get a woman in the picture. No, it's got to be these frilly little things. And then, oh, it's not just a bed. You need a duvet and shams. And like, I never knew what any of these things were till I got married. But then you find out, you know what? All these dopey little things, all the little trinkets and everything, it does start to make it feel like home. It does start to decorate things. They're not the main thing. But they add to the environment. And I think what God is saying here is, you'll see your life won't just be practically provided and taken care of, but even the little extras in your life, there will be sources of blessing and joy coming from all different directions. Even the things that don't seem to matter, even the things that aren't a big deal. Yes, as a parent, you want your kids to walk with the Lord. That's your deepest desire. But it's not just about that. It's also enjoying them, getting kicks out of the little things they do, watching them do something cute and getting a kick out of that. And that's kind of God decorating our lives, not just giving us the basics, but going, I can make this beautiful in a bunch of different ways, in ways that you don't even understand that they're a big deal. Just being able to enjoy a nice meal, or just being able to have a conversation that's really special. Or just being able to have a memory from a long time ago that all of a sudden just comes into your mind and it warms your heart. Leaves won't wither.
Those that get on God's road to blessings and happiness are forever glad they did. Won't you do that today if you're not there already? Next week on The Balanced Word, we'll resume Pastor Dave Rolfe's study of the Psalms. In the meantime, be encouraged to meditate upon and live by the Word. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day, wake up my hands and the instrument I play.